Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome. Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 25th, 2018. That time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, please make this choice tonight if you haven't already. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, folks, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, YouTube, and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. Airtime isn't free, and as you know, we are a church. We sell nothing, and so we only stay on the air due to your kind donations. Okay, on another note, let's thank our listener base in worldwide in places like Frankfurt and Leipzig, Germany. Anyway, these two cities in Germany really hit it off the map of how many downloads that they've got this year, this week. In this past week, that was more than the other, at least that's to our podcast. Anyway, also in Croatia, Dublin, Ireland, China, Paris, France, and, of course, cities in the good old United States, such as Nashville, Tennessee, which, again, Nashville blew out everybody in the United States about how many downloads they did to the podcast that occurs later on tonight. San Jose, California, Buffalo, New York, St. Louis, Missouri, and Wichita, Kansas, with a hat off to them because when without these spikes, they remain the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcasts later on tonight. Okay, and that's something new. Please follow us and share us on Twitter. You can find us at Pastor Dan Catlin at Messiah, or Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch 77. Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch 77. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest, and I think you'll really get a lot out of this program tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that regular night goes according to your will and not ours. Father, keep the enemy at bay, and please give everyone ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, once Donald Trump ran for his presidency, we stood behind him, and we never wavered on this program, the belief that he would become our president, as he indeed did. As I said before, we still believe he won by an overwhelming margin. In fact, he did this something that nobody else has done. He won against a rigged election, as it turns out. Our guest tonight received prophecy that Donald Trump would win, and even more, even much more than that. We will talk to him about a book that he just wrote, along with Mary Colbert, and that book is called The Trump Prophecies Coming Next. And it's published by Defender Publishing. As you folks know, that's Skywatch TV. Okay, Lieutenant Mark Taylor is a third-generation firefighter. He retired after 20 years of service with the Orlando Fire Department. He served Orlando's busiest engine and fire truck companies, as well as the hazmat, high-angle trench rescue, and even more. Lieutenant Taylor was also an instructor for most of his career, instructing on engine and truck company, Rupots, and a lot of other things. Anyway, for his service, Mark, we thank you for your service to doing that. Anyway, he still instructs as a subject matter and on victim extractions. It's called the SORD, I guess, S-O-R-D, and it's Operation and Benefits. So welcome, Mark. I'm really glad to have you on with you. Are you there with us?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
Yes, sir. It's a great pleasure to have you on. I heard about your prophecies a while back, and it just fell into my lap to where I could finally get you on radio with us, so I'm really pleased about that. But in what I broke down, what's missing about what I said about Mark? There's more to Mark than this, surely.
Well, yeah, there's quite a bit more to Mark, but I don't know if we have enough time for that, but... my grandfather, I'm a third generation firefighter on one side of my family, and on my dad's side of the family, I am a, my grandfather was a Baptist minister, and his dad was a Baptist minister up in the hills of North Carolina and Tennessee. He traveled on foot spreading the gospel. So I kind of have that in my background. I'm not called to be a pastor. I don't have the patience for that. God bless anybody who is. But I'm called to the prophetic.
Well, amen. And I'm going to send a link to our pastor page on prophecyhour.com and make sure that you go to the prophetic words. You know, I've been going through those with some very powerful words. But for the folks, some that really don't know who you are, I guess, that's possible. Tell them, you know, what you received. How did we get into this Trump prophecy thing? How did you hear from God and what did you hear?
Well, I got saved when I was 8 years old, and I retired when I was about 39. It was in 2006 that I retired. About a month after I retired, I had a visitation from the Lord. And in this, I went to bed one night, and my wife didn't go to bed. She couldn't sleep. And she came to bed about 1 o'clock in the morning or so. And, you know, you kind of roll over and you say, hey, what are you going to come to bed so late? You just kind of mumble something. And she's like, oh, I couldn't sleep. So I rolled over, and immediately I was caught up in a vision. And in the vision, I saw myself in my bedroom on my knees and my hands and knees, basically, and I was speaking in tongues. And my right index finger, I was writing in the carpet in cursive as I was speaking in tongues. Then all of a sudden, I became myself, and I was on my knees, and I was writing in the carpet with my right index finger. And I looked in front of me, and I saw a cloud, and I knew it was God. I looked to my left through the door, and came another cloud. It came around behind me and stood to my right. Now, as I'm writing in the carpet and speaking in tongues, light starts to come out of my right index finger and out of my right hand. And as I was doing this, Pastor, I cannot describe to you the amount of fear that I felt. I mean, it felt like God gave me only just a grain of sand, but it felt like he could have just vaporized me from the face of the earth. And so I woke up. And when I woke up, I still had that fear on me, and I couldn't open my eyes because I was afraid of what I would see. And I was in the fetal position, literally. And what seemed like about 15 minutes, I opened my eyes, and it was 1:33. I looked right at the clock. It was 1:33. And, you know, the Bible talks about when Moses was in the presence of God that he had to veil his face. And it was almost like that same thing, but when I rolled over and I spoke to my wife, she said my voice was different. She said, there was something different about my voice when I was speaking. And I said, hey, I think I just had a vision. And that had never happened to me up to this point of 39 years of age. And I'd only been retired for a month. And I was going to an apostolic church at the time, and I had had some certified dream interpreters from John Paul Jackson's ministry. And I went to some of them, and basically the interpretation was, like, Mark, that was the cloud that was in front of you was God. The Bible speaks that when we speak in tongues, we speak mysteries. So whatever it was that I was going to do, I was speaking it in mysteries, basically. And he said, whatever it was I was going to do, I was writing it in the carpet in cursive. And because it was in cursive, science has proven that everyone has their own style and their own flair of writing. So whatever it is that I'm going to do, I was writing it in the carpet, and it will have my own style and my own flair. And because I wrote it in the carpet, it will affect my walk and the walks of others. The light coming out of the finger and out of my hand was the anointing that God has given me in order to do this. Now, the cloud that was in front of me was God. The cloud that came behind me and stood to my right was an angel that's been assigned to me. And the fear that you felt, they said, was the spirit of the fear of the Lord that was upon you. So that's basically it in a nutshell. That's how some of this came about. Now, about 4 months after that, I got deathly sick. I just took a nosedive. I was bedridden for 4 and 5 days at a time. I couldn't eat for 4 and 5 days at a time. I had anxiety, depression, all this stuff. So I had, for about 4 or 5 years, this went on. And so I had sought out some doctors after doctor. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. So finally I found a doctor that was going everything that was wrong with me. I had a very low thyroid. I had severe adrenal burnout from the fire service, running day and night. And then I had the hormones of a 70-year-old at 39. But I also didn't realize I had Lyme's disease as well, which comes with a bunch of co-infections. So I was a sick person, believe me. When I tell you I was sick, I was sick. And so this went on, and finally in 2011, April 28, 2011, fast forward to then, I'm sitting in front of the TV, and I see Donald Trump in an interview on Fox News. Now, at the time, I didn't know a whole lot about Donald Trump. I just knew he was a very powerful businessman who built this multi-billion-dollar empire. And so that's all I pretty much knew about him for the most part. And so I'm listening to him in this interview, and at the time, he was toying with running. This was in 2011. He never announced he was going to run. So as I'm watching this, because this is one of these nights that I was just sick. All I could do was watch TV. And so I heard the voice of the Lord say, "You're hearing the voice of a president." So I got up, and I came in here to the spare bedroom that I'm in now, right now, which is my converted office. I sat down like the Apostle Paul. I put pen to paper, and I just wrote out what the Spirit of God was telling me. And that was the Commander-in-Chief prophecy, which was the Trump prophecy, people call it, April 28, 2011. That's how it came about.
Well, amen. Very powerful. All of this is powerful. I went through your consistent in what you're saying, and what really strikes me is you're very consistent in a lot of the things that, you know, I felt I didn't have a vision about, but, you know, I felt, you know, from the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. So, moving on. So, you know, where did you first release the Trump prophecy? I mean, how did you become well known? I mean, go ahead.
What happened was, at the time I was so sick. I mean, my friends abandoned me. I mean, I didn't have any friends at the time. I was stuck here in my house for literally 10 years. God had me isolated for 10 years. And, you know, I was miserable at times. And so after the first doctor I went to that started helping me out, he got an offer, a lucrative offer from another hospital, so he closed his practice. So I had to seek out another doctor, and that's when I found Dr. Don Colbert. Well, Dr. Don Colbert was a Christian like the last doctor I had. And so one day I just happened to be going in there and for a checkup. And I bought a couple of prophetic words because I did not have a platform at the time. I had nobody. I handed it out when I wrote it, April 28, 2011, I handed it out to some family and the first doctor that I had. And that's it, and maybe a friend or two. And so I went to Dr. Colbert one day and for my physical. I handed him a folder with a couple of these prophecies that I'd written, and he laid it down on the counter. And he started doing the checkup thing, and all of a sudden he starts popping a sign over me. He says, "Mark, I feel like God's going to download you some prophetic words, and you're going to start writing these words out." And I said, "Well, Doc, it's already started." We kind of laughed. He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, those are prophetic words I gave you in the folder." He said, "Well, I thought those were signs and symptoms." I said, "No, those are prophetic words." So he read them, and one of them was the Trump prophecy. And Dr. Colbert's known as the doctor to the generals of the faith, basically, because he treats a lot of big-name people in ministry on television and stuff like that. And so he says, "Hey, I really like the Trump prophecy." He said, "I want to share it with my wife, Mary." I said, "Okay, that's fine." So he did, and Mary came out, and she said, "Mark," she said, "do you realize this is a word from God?" And I said, "Well, I think it is." And she said, "Well, I know it is." She said, "Because I recognize God's rhythm." And so she took it, and, of course, she just took the ball and ran with it from there and just started handing it out to all these big-name pastors, and that's all she wrote.
Well, amen. You know, you see the Lord's hand in all that. Number one, you know, you say you were sick for a long period of time. The Father, I'm sure, allowed that in order to get you into the right, you know, humbleness of spirit to do what you're doing now. And then, because of what you had, he put you in with the person that would connect you to the other people to get the prophecy out. Isn't our Father amazing?
Yeah, and, you know, and that was the whole thing. One person wrote into me, and she said, and I love the way she put it. She said, "You know, you were as a firefighter, you were a man's man, but when you retired and you were sick like that, you were becoming God's man." And that was the whole thing. It was a death to self, and you know, because as firefighters, we build a wall of protection as a protection mechanism. You kind of lose compassion a little bit, and as a protection mechanism. And it was that compassion that I had to get back again.
Yeah, amen. In fact, when I made my transition from the world, from being an outlaw biker to what I am now, I spent about 10 years sick on the floor, you know, because of my back. So I understand all that. He was cutting away the old so he could have him come out.
Yeah.
Amen. That's powerful testimony. That testimony enforces the belief, let alone you're entirely correct about President Trump. Amen.
Correct. And, when fast forward to 2015, because, Donald Trump never announced he was running in 2012. So fast forward to 2015, I had written a D-Day speech. The Lord had me go back and rewrite General Eisenhower's D-Day speech. He said, I want you to address that to my army. I said, okay, Lord. Well, at the time, again, I didn't have a platform. This was before I had done all this. And so I had that. And then he says, and I also prophesied about maybe 3 months after I wrote the Trump prophecy that there would be another Triple Crown winner. So I set all this stuff aside. Well, June 6, 2015, we get the Triple Crown win. And I was like, wow. And I'm on the phone with my sister, and she says, wait a minute, what is today? And it was like, she said, it's D-Day. And I said, and I heard the Lord say, release the speech. So I pulled the speech out. Then I pulled the horse prophecy out. And I was like, two things had come together right there in the same time frame. And then 10 days after that, pretty much on June, I think it was 15th, somebody can fact check me on that, is when Donald Trump announced he was running for president, and all three of these things were lining up.
Yeah, amen. I really like, and back to the book, let me address the folks about the book for a second. Folks, this book is called The Trump Prophecies Coming Next, and now you can find it at Defender Publishers or Skywatch TV, or you, simply Amazon, or anybody just about carries this book, don't they? Barnes and Noble and Amazon. So, amen, folks. But because there's no way, folks, it would take 10 programs to go through everything that's absolute in this book. You really need to get the book. This D-Day speech is indeed in the book. So you can pick back up and talk about that a little bit. We've got a little time for a break, about 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, there's a whole D-Day component, a whole World War II component to this whole thing, basically. And what the Lord was showing me is that, you know how England was the hub to the D-Day invasion, where you had manpower, you had equipment, you had food, clothing, money pouring into England, basically to support the war effort, the D-Day invasion. The same thing's going to happen with America. Is America's going to be the hub by which the end-time harvest is launched. So all the seeds that America has sown, she's never reaped her harvest. So America's going to reap her harvest. So basically, all this manpower, this food, money, clothing, whatever we need to move the gospel throughout the earth for this end-time harvest, America's going to be the hub by which all this is lost. So, and the other thing that the Lord was showing me is that you have two different things. You have the body of Christ, and you got the army of God. Think of the body of Christ as basically a boot camp. And what the Lord was showing me, what's going on with the body of Christ right now, is like on D-Day, they're on these ships, they're being tossed to and fro, and they're seasick. And all they can focus on is the storm. And that's what a lot of the evangelicals are doing right now. They're focusing on the storm and not on the mission. And then you've got another group that's been promoted out of the ships into the landing craft. They're approaching the beach. And anybody who knows history about D-Day, they placed obstacles on the beach to keep the armor from landing. Well, this group is approaching the beach. All they see are the obstacles. And then you've got the army of God. They are the spiritually mature of the body of Christ. They're the ones that are hitting the beaches, moving in on, and they're taking ground for the kingdom of God, and they're holding it at all costs. So that's basically kind of, in a nutshell, where we're at right now.
Yeah, amen. And I do, after break, we'll go into a really important part of your book. I mean, I love your prophecies. I love all the words that you got. They're great. But I really, there's not a lot of people out there that are focusing on what the church needs to do, what happened to the church, and why. And you really cover that when we talk about the 501c3, because, Messiah's Branch, that's our ministry, it's our church, but we're not a 501c3 for exactly the reasons that you state, and I've stated them on this program off and on for many, many years. So, anyway, but going up to that, so So now we're getting ready for battle. And how did you get hooked up with Tom Horn? Just for curiosity.
You know, I honestly can't remember how that came about. I think it was he had requested, I think, an interview with me is what it was. And we started talking because it was about the Trump prophecy. And then we started talking about I had some book offers at the time. And he says, well, I'd like to throw my hat in the ring. And I was like, well, sure. And then we just kind of hit it off from there.
Yeah, amen. Tom, you're in with a good group of people there, you know, and the people that he published. You're in with a really, and I'm sure it was all Father ordained. So if they want to find these prophetic words and all this, what's the name of your website for the people?
It's called swordrescue.com, and sword is spelled S-O-R-D, rescue.com. They can click on the prophetic words tab, and they can download all my prophetic words for free. And I encourage people to go there, download them, use them as target-focused prayers. I've even got a target-focused repentance prayer on there to show you how to target-focus your prayers and your repentance that God's calling us to do. So I encourage people, you know, lay them out. It's like a blueprint. It'll show you where God is going right now.
Yeah, amen. And so, you know, we've got just a little bit here left, but you still feel the extreme urgency to get this message out?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have so much going on right now, Pastor, that it's, you know, this is not a time to lay down our weapons of warfare. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we are to stop fighting. Nowhere does it say that we lay down our weapons of warfare. This is a time to pick up our armor, our weapons of warfare right now, and engage in the battle. You know, it's time to take ground for the kingdom of God and hold it at all costs.
Amen. I really love your enthusiasm. And, folks, if you want to see, there's also over there, there's a really good interview that he did, and it's on YouTube. If you and I know a lot of people are video people. You want to see that, go on over there and look. And I'm going to send a link, like I said, to the pastor page at prophcr.com, and where you can find the link easily. And, hey, we'll be back in 3 minutes. We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Excuse my voice. I am still recovering from the flu, just about done. But, this, you know, the CDC said the 2017-2018 flu is an epidemic, and that is the truth. In Wichita, Kansas, where the Mission Church is located, hospitals are at full capacity, and people are being sent to other cities around outside of Wichita for beds. Visitors have even been barred from the hospital. This is really tough on the poor and the homeless, because even if they go get something from the hospital, you know, they don't give them everything they need. You know, you imagine going through the flu with no cold medicine, with no aspirins, anything. We, however, we give out over-the-counter medications. People for years say, Pastor Dan, you know, you get in trouble for that. Really? Okay, who's worried about that? We help people where other people don't. But right now, we're, you know, because of lots of reasons, but we're very low on donations. So we really need to buy some of these so that we can give them out. If you live in Wichita, the Dollar Tree carries them. Bring by some. If you don't, pray about making a donation. And we do need a lot of things over at the Mission Church. We need blankets, coats, gloves, King James large print Bibles, preferably. Right now, we do have some hats left, but I guess that's not going to last very long. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. Men, women, children from all walks of life who've had a bad break come to us for help. We get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that have supported us now that we're in our 18th year that make this mission church work. Yes, we care and minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even like to drive through after dark. But is that not where the body of Messiah should be? Is among the sinners, as Yeshua was? Well, we do need your help now to stay open, so pray about it. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love is the answer. They're treated as family. Beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. The only programs I have are radio programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule. If we don't have a way to fill the need, we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Fathers Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many. And folks, we are responsible to care one for another as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations is what keeps us on the air to bring you guests like who we have today. Now, you can donate online, mail a check or money order, and find all that information at prophecyhour.com or call me. But really, I want to really get back with the program because I'm enjoying this. We're talking about the Trump prophecies coming next, the book with one of the authors, Mark Taylor. Are you still with me, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm really glad to have you. And I don't know about you, but I would really like to go into this part. You spoke, in fact, on 7/17, 2017, you talked about Satan's frequency, about the news media. I think that would lead us into also talking about the Army of God, which you brought up, and the 501(c). So however you want to go with this, I'll just comment.
Sure. The Satan's Frequency, I wrote a prophecy called Satan's Frequency, and it was about the doom and gloom that a lot of these people are listening to right now, because you can become addicted to doom and gloom. And what's happening is that, you know, after World War I, the Rockefellers funded a study with the U.S. Navy to use sound as a weapon. And what they found was that, you know, the international broadcasting frequency was 444 hertz. And what they found was by detuning it to 440 is that it would cause all kinds of issues. It would cause fear, panic, paranoia, egotism. It would damage your body organs, and it would even change your DNA. So this is a very dangerous thing to be in, and that's why when people listen to the news, you get agitated all the time. So that's why I tell people, stop listening to the mainstream media. It's Satan's frequency. And start, you know, tap into Donald Trump's Facebook feed. Tap into his Twitter. You're getting the truth straight from the source. There's a reason why God is providing him the means to bypass the mainstream media. This is why. But a lot of evangelicals, Pastor, are getting caught up in this doom and gloom, and it's keeping them from hearing the voice of God, which is heaven's frequency. You can become addicted to it. And, you know, a prime example, I use this all the time, is Glenn Beck started off on a righteous path of exposing, you know, George Soros and all these corrupt leaders. And somewhere along the line, he took a turn somewhere. I believe that Glenn got addicted to it, and he ended up making him sick because he does have physical illness that he's dealing with right now. So a lot of people that are listening to the doom and gloom on YouTube, some of these pastors, they're constantly throwing out this apocalyptic, end-time, fear-based message, you know, and the Lord is saying, you know, stop, because Jesus said to preach the good news. There's a reason why he said preach the good news. I get the email, Pastor, all the time from people that say, Mark, I can't handle the doom and gloom in the church. I can't handle the doom and gloom on the mainstream media anymore. I was fixing to commit suicide, and I heard your message of hope, and I didn't do it, and I rededicated my life to Christ. And that's when the Lord started speaking to me about this and showing me this. He said, because this fear-based apocalyptic message is not saving lives anymore. It's now taking lives. It's not working. So we have to change our strategy and tactics for going after people. And that is to go out and preach the good news.
Amen. Absolutely. You know, sure, we're going to go through some bad things. You know, that's part of it. That tells us we are in the time of the end. But the other part of the message gets neglected so much because, you know, it's as, you know, a woman in travail. That means she's going to have some hard times, and then it's going to get less. But the point is, at the end of the thing, what do you have? You have something wonderful happen, and that's Yeshua's return. Amen. Right. And I am like you. I do believe that during the time, this time of the end, we are going to see some miraculous, things, miracles, of course, happen. We do see them at the Wichita Mission Church, because people that have lost all hope for everything, and the last hope that they have is calling out to God, and they believe. We've seen brain tumors healed and all sorts of things. These are the things that are coming in this time, as well as the doom and gloom. As far as the mainstream media, that what's so sad about that, Mark, is you know, the poor people, which there's a lot more righteous are among the poor than the rich, but that can't afford cable news or even the internet, are soaking up all the mainstream media garbage. And believe me, it's coming back out of them. Back to you.
Yeah. And, you know, so, I mean, you know, who was it? It was Chief Sitting Bull once said, there's two dogs that live inside every man. One's mean and evil, and the other one's good. And these two dogs are fighting one another every day. And someone asked the chief one day, which dog is winning? And he said, it's whichever one I feed the most. So I ask people out there, which dog are you feeding the most? Are you feeding that fear-based, doom and gloom dog, or are you feeding the good news dog? Because honestly, Pastor, most evangelicals, that they feed that mean, evil dog with that doom and gloom, fear-based message so much on YouTube or mainstream media, it's got them by the throat, and they all they can see. And the Lord told me this, because you got to remember, go back to what I said earlier, that these frequencies are changing the DNA of man. That is the goal of the New World Order, is to change the DNA of man, to have you thinking, perceiving, seeing, and hearing what they want you to think, hear, and perceive. So that is their goal. So, but the sign will be is that when you give someone good news and they can't receive it, that is a clear sign that their DNA is being handed over to the enemy. Now, we can change that. You can start listening to good news and get back on heaven's frequency. It can be changed, but it is a decision made by the person in order to actually be able to do that.
Amen. There's so much lies and deception out there. It's just pitiful. And what's really left us, and I know you've noticed this, and going back to the media for a moment, is they seem to have no unction or anything in their bones to tell the truth. And that's what really drives me insane. And you ask anybody, Pastor Dan, is he like liars? No. I'm always, because liars are, you know, well, they're not going to receive their part in heaven, of course, but, you know, when a person lies to you, then you once you don't know if they're lying to you the next time, and so on and so forth. And it's just, that's all we see out of the mainstream. You say that God's going to replace that.
Yeah, there's no spirit of truth in the news media. God's going to clean the news media out. Now, how he does that, I do not know. When he does that, I do not know. But I know at some point, you know, because one line of that prophecy, the Trump prophecy, said the mainstream media will be captivated by him, which they've been captivated with him from day one. But the last line of that says they will eventually begin to agree with him. Now, we haven't seen that come to pass quite yet. Now, we're seeing some every now and then. You'll see some little snippets here in the last couple of weeks where they've actually agreed with Donald Trump on a couple of things. So there may be some things that are starting to change in that direction, but I'm thinking that there's something coming that's that God's going to clean out the news media in some capacity, that they're going to begin to, the spirit of truth, he's going to bring the spirit of truth back to the news media somehow. Now, how he does it, I don't know.
Yeah, amen. Just in brief on that, I do see some turning, and that may very well come about with this new thing about the memo and everything coming out. But I want to proceed on. Now, you mentioned, now you're exactly where I'm at with the 501(c) and where it came from, 1954 and so on. Why don't you tell the folks what we're talking about?
Yeah, okay, the 501c3 back in 1954, some people call it the Johnson Amendment. Well, first off, I'm not going to give that guy credit for anything, because he was a 33rd degree Mason. This guy was demonic as can be. He wasn't smart enough. His name may have been on that amendment or whatever you want to call it, but it took a think tank to come up with this. And what happens is this 501c3 came about in 1954 because the church was using their discernment, and they were exposing corrupt politicians. And Johnson didn't like it. So this think tank, which, by the way, 1954 was the same year that the Bilderberg Group was established. There's your think tank. And so, again, I don't believe he came up with this on his own. I believe the Bilderbergs had a lot to do with this because they knew in the end times that some of these pastors and churches would become dirty, filthy lucres. And what they would talk about was like, well, if we can't beat them, let's get them to join us. So they devised this plan called the 501c3, the tax write-off, that when you give to the church, you get a percentage back in return. So they, but in return for that, you have to keep silent on political issues, and you cannot expose any of the political parties or this, that, and the other. So the church fell for it. They signed into a demonic contract with the kingdom of darkness called the 501c3. They signed on. And so let's fast forward a little bit, about 10 years, because the enemy's very patient. So 10 years later, prayer gets taken out of schools. Where was the church? Silent. They kept their mouth shut. They didn't say anything. They couldn't because they were in a demonic contract because for that 30 pieces of silver is what they were wanting. 10 years later, again, the big one, Roe versus Wade comes around. Where was the church? Silent. Couldn't say anything. And I can hear people now, Brother Mark, wait a minute. You don't understand. I was on the courthouse steps screaming myself at the top of my lungs. Well, if you are a 501c3, what you don't understand is that legally in the spiritual realm, you cannot take on an entity you are in covenant with. That is a demonic contract with Baal. You are part of the Baal Babylonian system, period. So when you, this is why, Pastor, when these pro-life ministries that are 501c3s, they try to take on Roe versus Wade, they can't do it. It's because they are in covenant with Baal. It's because the Bible says you can't cast out Satan with Satan. So how can you cast out an entity you're in covenant with? You can't do it. This is why they can't make any headway in the court system legally. These 501c3 pro-life ministries, you know, the Bible says don't be unequally yoked. So when you're a 501c3, you are now yoked with other 501c3 organizations, such as the Satanic Church, Islam, Wicca, Planned Parenthood, pro-choice. How can you take on, if you're a pro-life ministry, how can you take on pro-choice and Planned Parenthood when you're yoked with them? So this is the things that people don't understand. The 501c3, the Lord showed me that the 501c3 is a demonic portal, basically, that has been opened over the churches, and this is why they're not flowing in power and authority right now. This is why we have so much immorality in the churches right now. We are called to be the spiritual and moral compass of this nation. If we want to truly ask ourselves, why is America in the mess that it's been in? Because of the church. The church Amen. Has not done its job. It's because the church Amen. Sold itself for 30 pieces of silver. Because about 98%, we don't have an exact number, about 90% of our churches are 501c3s. Now, let's go a step farther with that. If you say that Jesus Christ is the head of my ministry and you're a 501c3, wrong. He's not. You cut the head off of the Lord, you're no longer a part of the body. And the reason being is because the church has a slavery mentality if you're a 501c3, because you have now two levels of governing over you. We are called to rule and reign and to govern with Christ in heavenly places. How can you do that when you are being governed over? You answer to the federal government as a 501c3. If you're incorporated, you now work for the state as well. The state is what you answer to. Jesus Christ is not the head of your ministry. Whether you say it, you can scream it as loud as you want from the pulpit. If you're incorporated and you're a 501c3, you now have two levels of governing over you. So the second, this is why you're seeing miracles at your church, Pastor, is because you're not a 501c3, number one, and number two, you're not incorporated. You don't answer to anybody except for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of your ministry.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, brother, I've been saying this for many years. In fact, I was blessed by when I first came, you know, after I got saved, I came out and I was spent some time with another ministry who explained these things to me way on, early on. And so we never took on a 501c3, and we did. We see miracles, and you wonder. So let's go back to that. So I've been on radio for, you know, like 2001. And that's the predominant thing that it keeps coming out. These things happen. Why are these things happening? Where's the church? Church is silent. Church shouldn't be silent. Church, Paul Revere was even a pastor. You know what I'm saying, brother?
Right.
We should be the ones speaking to the people.
That's right.
And you're right. They sold it out for silver. Absolutely.
They sold out for 30 pieces of silver. And this is why the church has been stuck in a rut. And the root word for rut means grave. They're stuck in a rut, and this is why they can't get out of it, is because they're too worried about their congregation. How many people do I have in my church? How big is my church, my sanctuary? How much money do I have coming in? They're being politically correct. You know, it's the Nicolaitan system all over again. What is the Nicolaitan system that Jesus said he hated? It's because they compromise with the world system. They're part of the world system, you know, and immorality. So that they don't, and how many people do we have out there that we're seeing in the pulpits that have been married 3 or 4 times, you know, because of this or because of that? The list is just endless right now, and God is calling his people out of that system. You can't, and here's another issue. This will prove to you right here. Anytime you sell your soul to the devil, he's going to come back for his dues, period. You know, it's almost like being part of the mafia. You never get out. And so what happens when you sign a 501c3, you have to give all your assets to another 501c3 in order to come out. This is why a lot of pastors won't come out, is because they have to lose everything in order to come out. That's how you know you've signed a deal with the devil. That's how they made it in the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely correct on all of it. I was real surprised. You know, I was really enjoying your book anyway, and then I all of a sudden you started talking about the 501c3, and I said, nobody talks about that. And I kept reading, and I said, oh, I know what I want to talk to Mark about. I want to talk to him about the 501c3, because, you know, it's very simple. It is right. And folks, anybody in any corporation that you're incorporated to, the state is the head of your corporation.
Yes.
And, you know, once you accept the 501c3, they don't even consider you technically a church anymore. You're a charitable organization. So they take the word church right out of it. But if you need tax exemption, folks, and you're a church, even the IRS admits you're already tax exempt. In fact, if you go deeper into looking, it says you're beyond tax exempt, you're non-tax accessible. And the only other entity that is non-tax accessible is the federal government itself. Back to you.
Right. And, that's the whole thing. You know, they have the, what is it? They have the, it was in Hurricane Katrina through FEMA, they have the, I forgot the name of it now. It's a group of pastors that is in covenant with the government. And basically, they can look this up online, is that in an event of natural disaster, they are deployed. Clergy Response Team is the name of it. The Clergy Response Team is responsible that when any time a natural disaster happens, that they are to get their congregations under control, get them to submit their guns, get them to submit to civil government, which, by the way, Jesus never did. And so that's what they're a part of. This is what we're turning out of these Bible colleges, because they've been indoctrinated by the government. The government is teaching this stuff in the Bible colleges to be a part of the 501c3. Now, let's say Hillary Clinton did get into office. Here's what was her plan. Her plan was to go in and to tell all these 501c3 churches, you will preach homosexuality or transgender from the pulpit, or we're going to shut you down and turn you into a mosque or a satanic temple, either one. That was their goal. That's how close we were to doing that. Now, you can get a rogue leadership, like in California right now, has rogue leadership right now. And legally, if they wanted to come in and say, hey, if you're an incorporated, let's say they do away with the 501c3, but you're incorporated, they could legally go in there and say, if you're incorporated, you answer to us, the state. You preach transgender or homosexuality from the pulpit, or we're going to shut you down. They can legally do that, Pastor.
Well, absolutely. And, this works even without the – let's take the church off the table for a minute. If you're a business and you're a 501 – and not a – forget about being a 501c3, but anytime you're incorporated, you have to go by government rules. So you need to think about what you're doing, even with your business, you know. And
right.
A lot of people right now are cringing and going, well, you really need to think it, because, you know, Mark, and you pointed out so great in your book, we're in league. So many people unknowingly are in league with Baal, are they not?
Yes, correct. And most of it is the church right now. And, you know, it's that Babylonian system. So God's calling his people out of that Babylonian system. Did we ever think for 1 second that this is why we're not flowing in signs, wonders, and miracles right now? Is because Jesus is not the head of our house, our church, our ministry? because Baal is. You're in covenant with Baal with a 501c3, and then you have the state as your head. So, I mean, you've got two levels of governing over you. So this is what people have to break away from. This is why you're going to see church done in a whole new light. You're going to see home churches come about. People are exiting the church in masses right now because they're sick and tired of what's going on in the churches right now, the hyper-grace or the prosperity message that's going across. So you're going to see home churches. You're going to see, like, technology, like on your radio show. You're going to see church done in a whole different way here coming up.
Yeah, amen. And for the record, Mark, I know of many home churches and people, you know, I've been doing radio a long time, talked to a lot of people, whether it's either places of refuge or many home churches, people have came out of the church and have started their own Bible groups and small little churches, you know. We're like, our church is like a home church with a building because, you know, we were called. I was kept up all night to do what I'm doing in Wichita. So, amen. Well, you've got about two and a half minutes. What finality do you want to leave the people with today?
Well, I want to leave them with this, is that we're fixing to cross a threshold in this country we've never crossed before. It's not a time to walk in fear. Don't feed that fear dog. Feed the good dog, the faith dog. You know, don't let that fear one get you by the throat. There's going to be a lot of corruption that's going to be exposed, a lot of people that are going to go down. They're going to be held accountable. I'm not prophesying this. This is why we need to be praying for this. Could see some civil unrest in some parts of the country. We need to be praying against that. So that's a prayer point for everybody. But the main thing is armor up, get in the fight. Right now, God is recruiting for his own army right now. And you're going to see a lot of job openings come up because there's going to be a lot of people indicted through this indictment process. So if you're called to be a senator, a congressman or woman, a judge, even a council person, a mayor, governor, if you're called and you're in the army of God, now's the time to answer the call, to step up into a place of leadership to make a difference. God is calling his people out of this because, again, we're going to have a lot of vacancies coming up right now. I've been contacted by two people, who I don't want to say who they were, but one was a federal judge who believes they are called to that state's Supreme Court. I prayed with them on the phone. They're answering the call. And I have another one that contacted me that's doing a congressional seat, running for a congressional seat. So they're answering the call. So God's calling his people right now. If you're called to any of that, it's time to step up.
Amen. You know, and the word tells us, folks, that, and we just talked about this at the Mission Church last time, when we are called, whether you go to work and you push a shovel, you're supposed to push that shovel as you're doing it under the Lord. And this is what Mark's talking about. Take the ground. Do it for him, not your employer. You do it for him, and that means you're going to be doing it for the right reasons. You need to be, you know, Mark, one thing that I've seen so much with the 501c3 church and the people pointed out to me, they say, Pastor, when those guys come out of church on Sunday, they're not the same when I run into them in the street. They're different. You understand what I'm talking about?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, and that's the impact that 501c3 is having. That's that demonic influence. You know, it's going to be different from church to church, person to person, depending on their spiritual maturity. But it will have an effect on you at some point, especially as a congregation. It's going to hinder you. You know, trying to punch through that second heaven and get into the throne room of God is going to be tough, man. Because, I mean, again, you're in covenant with something you should not be in covenant with.
Okay. Well, Mark, we've come to the end of our program. I really appreciated you having on. Maybe you'll come back again and talk with the folks again. Amen.
Yes, absolutely, brother. And I appreciate so much for having me on. It's been an honor and a pleasure being here speaking to your audience. God bless everybody.
All right. Thanks and be blessed. Bye-bye, brother.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, that was Mark Taylor. The book is called The Trump Prophecies, and he did half the book, and the other half of the book was did by Mary Colbert. And she talks about, she met Trump, and you just have to read the other part of the book. It's a dynamite book. But this is a very good book to give out to people that are skeptical about Donald Trump and about what's going on with the mainstream media and everything. I really do like it. It's a blessing. Give it to others. Share it with others if you can afford it. Pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. You know, we aren't part of that government system, and so it's really hard to get help because so many people, if you don't have the 501c3, they do not want to donate to you, period, even though they could still get a tax deduction if that's where your reward lies. Anyway, but remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Folks, that's like praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.